I want to again greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It is so good to be here. Just want to thank you this morning for the support that we felt from the congregation for this weekend, what's happening. The body of Christ is so important. I realize the body of Christ is huge, but we are a body of Christ right here within the body of Christ. And it is just so important that we are here to help each other, to support each other, and to bless each other in our journey here at Calvary Chapel. I've titled my message this morning, Unified Laborers. So when I think about laborers, with an S on the end, we're talking about somebody that is working. So there's an activity that's going on. Laborers, somebody that's working. We talk about unified laborers, we talk about somebody that is working together. It's what we like to see in a church body. I'm going to be spending some time in Nehemiah and also in Ephesians this morning. So if you'd like to turn to Nehemiah, and for those of you from the congregation here, you'll realize it wasn't that long ago that I shared a message out of Nehemiah. So we might touch some of the same things, but yet there's some other things that we'd like to touch in Nehemiah. Nehemiah has so many lessons that you can take out of his life, of what he did. Let's just go to the first part of Nehemiah there. And we're going to find out real quick that Nehemiah was one who served. He was probably between 800 and 900 miles from Jerusalem, if I understood this correctly. He was in the palace. He was serving the king. He was a cupbearer. So he was one who was laboring. He was working. Excuse me. In verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the sons of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came. So now we find out somebody shows up to visit Nehemiah, and Nehemiah asks him a question. He says, concerning the Jews that have escaped, which were left of the captivity, he wanted to know, how are they doing? And then he said, and concerning Jerusalem, he wanted to know about his home country. What's my home country like? Things that were of concern to Nehemiah. This is the answer that they gave him. They said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. So he was saying, the people that are back home are struggling. There's something going on there that is difficult for them. They are in great affliction and reproach. And then he said, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So the report that he got was not a good report. When you think about the walls being broken down, back in those times the cities had walls around them for protection. If the walls were broken down, they could get in. Those that were not welcome could get in and there could be damage done. But those walls were there for protection. The walls were down. This really hit Nehemiah. We go on to verse 4. It says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. This touched Nehemiah's heart. The people, but I think what really, really got him was the fact that the walls were down and the people were not safe. His hometown had been destroyed. Then he continues there in verse 4 and he says, and mourned certain days. And we'll look at those days here in a second. But he mourned certain days. And then it says he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And we just talked about prayer and fasting here, one of my last messages. But here, Nehemiah fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He was serving a God that was alive. Same opportunity we have today. Nehemiah prays a prayer here we'd like to look at real quick. We find this prayer in verse 4 through 11. We're going through a weekend of seeking another deacon. And we've made that decision. And so tonight, like Dean was saying, tonight we have that ordination. There's been a lot of prayer. There's been some fasting that happened here to bring this all to a place where we believe God is moving. A good thing. A very good thing. Nehemiah here, in his prayer, in verse 5, he says, I beseech thee. The word beseech here has the idea of making an appeal. Pleading. Did you ever come to a place where you wanted something so bad, you got on your knees before God and you pled with God? God wants to hear that from us. He doesn't turn His back on us. We don't know how God's going to answer all the time. But He wants us to come to Him and to plead and to beseech, to be continuous in prayer, to seek Him in that way. Nehemiah pleaded with a God that he knew. And then he talks about who this God is in verse 5. He says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. The great and terrible God. He understood who this God was. Nehemiah came as a servant. And he came to a God who is holy. And as he sought Him, he said, a great and terrible, the word terrible here has the idea in our language today would be awesome. A great and awesome God. Friends, if you've never come to the place where you sought the Lord and you experienced His awesomeness, I challenge you to that this morning. To seek the Father. Don't leave until you understand who He is. I remember a pastor saying one time, he said, there's many of us that we pray short prayers and we're 10 minutes from really experiencing God. I challenge you with that this morning. Take time. Seek Him. Hear Him. Listen for Him. Listen for Him through the Holy Spirit. That's what Nehemiah was doing here. And he said, the God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. He said something pretty big about God here. This is a God who is faithful. He keeps His commandments. He keeps what He says, His promises rather. This is the same God that we pray to. He keeps His promises. What He says He's going to do. He told us He's coming back. That's true. He is coming back. He told us, this verse right up here, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That was Paul talking about Jesus, about our Father. By the way, I love that verse. I'm glad it's hanging up here. Let's continue. Something else that He did. Let's go down to verse here. Verse 6. Let now thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Here identifies himself as a servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants. Now listen to what happens here. Here's something that is so extremely important in seeking God, seeking Him in prayer. He says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Repentance. Repentance is a very big part of seeking God. There is none of us here this morning that don't need to come to a place of repentance. We find out in our everyday walk, we're still in this life. We have not yet crossed to the other side. But there is repentance that needs to happen. Pride will keep us from repentance. Pride will keep us to where we think, you know what, we're not as bad as that next person. Repentance is when we choose to see who we really are, and we find peace and fulfillment in giving this to God and allowing Him to come in and to cleanse us and to make us totally clean. That is a possibility. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, used at different times here, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is so faithful. We bring it to Him. He makes us white as snow. White as snow. Verse 11. We're going to jump ahead a little bit here. O Lord, I beseech Thee, still praying here, let now Thine ear be attentive to the prayer of Thy servant and to the prayer of Thy servants who desire to fear Thy name and prosper. I pray Thee, Thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He needed mercy in the sight of the king because he wanted to go talk to the king because he sends a call to go back to Jerusalem to repair the walls. We see in verse 11 there that he trusted the God that he was serving to prosper him. Now, we're not talking about prosper in the sense that this God is going to make me wealthy, but spiritually wealthy. We can trust God that He's going to do whatever it takes to help us reach a place of service to give Him the honor and glory. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. When we trust the Lord, we give Him everything and we allow Him to work in our hearts whatever He wants to do. It's called surrender. It's a word I've used here different times. Surrender, in all reality, is kind of difficult, ain't it? Because when I surrender, that means I wave the white flag. I give up Lynn. I give up what I want for what he wants. Let's go to the next chapter, the chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Let's look at that month for a second. If we go back to the first verse in chapter 1, this was the month of Kislew, is how you say that. And then over in chapter 2, it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan. That's approximately 4 months. So if we follow through with that, it looks like Nehemiah was seeking the Lord through prayer and fasting, possibly 4 months. Nehemiah was waiting for the right time to talk to the king. God's timing. He has his opportunity now to go talk to the king. Sometimes when we pray, we get a little bit antsy, don't we? And we ask God, why are you not doing something? There are times when God is not silent specifically. We might think He is, but He's working. God is working. And He knows when the right time is to say yes or to say no. So we continue to seek Him and we don't give up. There will be an answer for us somewhere along the way. Now we come to a place where Nehemiah finally shares his burden with the king in chapter 2 there. He shares with the king and he says, I'd like to go back home. I want to go home and build that wall. The king asked him, so how long are you going to be gone? It doesn't tell us how long he's going to be gone. We can read that later on. He was gone for approximately 12 years. But we don't know if it isn't mentioned here exactly what he told the king. But the king said, you know what, go ahead. Nehemiah asked him for different things. He wanted lumber. He wanted freedom to travel. And these things the king offered to him. So Nehemiah leaves. Let's go over to verse 16 of chapter 2. Now we have Nehemiah. He's over in Jerusalem. He has not yet told the officials what he's doing there. Matter of fact, he went out at night. And he went through the town and he looked at the destruction. And it says it was so bad that his donkey, his mule, whatever he was riding, could not cross over the debris. That's how bad it was. Verse 16, and the rulers or the officials knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, finally now he's talking to the officials, and he says, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, I want us to pay attention to two words here real quick. He says, come, let us. Nehemiah is not there saying, I am going to this, but he's inviting people in. He says, come, let us. Let's remember that. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Then Nehemiah explains to them where he's coming from. Why? He says in verse 18, he says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, what did they say? Let us. Remember, Nehemiah started out with, let us. He was inviting them in. They accepted the call. And now they are saying, let us. You see what Nehemiah did here? Nehemiah was not on his own, not doing this by himself, but he wanted community. He wanted unity. So he invited them in, and now they are saying, let us. The officials are actually saying, let us rise up and build. And then the next phrase says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Putting that into English today, they rolled up their sleeves. Let's get busy. They accepted that call to go to work. They rolled up their sleeves, and now they're all getting ready to work together. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nehemiah was seeking a people to help. He served a God who was a God of unity. The people were unified. If you look a little bit later, in one of the next chapters, it names all the different people that were here, that were here, that were here, that were here, and they were building this wall. They stepped in and they helped each other. God has a plan, and He needs His people to fulfill that plan. But He's asking them to work together in unity for a common goal. I've been intrigued by ants. I'm not talking about uncles and aunts. I'm talking about the little bitty insect ant. If you have ever been in the South, you will realize that there are ants that bite and they burn. Those bites really burn. We don't have the fire ants here, but the ants here do the exact same thing as the fire ants do. Have you ever watched an ant as it's the ants, as they have a little trail? There's a den or I don't know what you call it, but they have a trail from there over to their food spot. And there's a line going this way, and there's a line going back that way. And it looks like they're going to crash into each other, but there is a way that they function, going back and forth. Their job requires unity. When there's a little piece of food drop that's quite a bit bigger than the ant, before you know it, there's 3, 4, 5, 6 ants coming together. What are they doing with the food? They're picking it up, and they're taking it back to their den. They're working together in unity. I believe this is a little bit of the way that maybe God wants us to function as a body of Christ. Where we step in and we help each other. Levon is being called, and Valerie, to work as deacon. Sometimes that's a lot of work. Levon is going to have the freedom to call on us. To step in and to help. To make that load just a bit lighter. The ants have what they call, and I didn't know this, a pheromone trail. Have you ever heard about that? The pheromone trail. We see some nodding. So what it is, the ants have something that they drop as they go back and forth. They don't have good eyesight, but they can smell. So the ants are running back and forth according to that trail. You can take a pen, you can take a piece of chalk, you can go down and you can make a little mark there across that trail. What happens? They're confused. They don't know where to go. Brothers and sisters, this morning as we are working together in unity, there is an enemy. And he wants to do his best to destroy what's happening. Now look at this little mark that's been made as the enemy coming in and trying to destroy what's going on. And we need to be aware. We need to be alert. So what happens? Those ants are running up and they come to that lion and all of a sudden the smell is no longer there. They're not sure what to do. They're not sure where to go. There's also something else that those ants do. Occasionally there's one that says, I'm not running this trail anymore. And they veer off to the side. And because of the smell that they're leaving, there will be some others that follow. I've never known this, but I thought it was kind of neat. They call it the death circle. They veer off to the side and they run off. I've never seen this, by the way, but they run around in circles. And those that follow normally circle until there's death. What we can learn from the ant. When we face that line, when we face that deception, we come back like Nehemiah did. We seek the Father. We get into His Word. Maybe we need the brotherhood. And we find out what happened. And we correct it. I don't know what the ants do. Do they make another trail around it? I'm not sure. But we have the opportunity to come back to a God through the Holy Spirit. And He will help us. We are to work together to preserve truth. So as a body of believers, if we're going to be a successful body, we need unity. We need to work together. What is unity? We have many different ideas. But unity is oneness of purpose. I'm walking this life, and I'm guessing you are too, but I'm walking this life with a purpose of bringing glory to God and getting to know Him more. Do you know what that's going to end up in? It's going to end up in me living with Him someday. That's what that's going to do. That is a purpose. Getting to know Him more, sharing His love with others around us. We don't have time to be lazy. We just don't. Oneness of purpose. When fall shows up, we watch the geese. The geese create a beautiful V up in the sky. They have oneness of purpose. They're going south. And as they're going south, they fall into line and they begin to move together. And then they switch off. That lead goose switches off. They work together. They're headed a specific direction. Not too long ago, probably, I don't know how many years back, excuse me, we were up in Mackinac City. There's a very large ship there that you can tour. How many of you have taken that tour? Okay, there's a few here. As we got into this ship, I realized that there are a whole bunch of different compartments inside this ship. There's a kitchen. There's bunks. And every one of those compartments, excuse me, has to have somebody who is probably in charge making sure things get done. But what really got me was when we stepped into the engine room. Paul, I've seen some big generators at your house. These engines were humongous. There were catwalks around them. Somebody was in charge of being there to watch that engine, to listen to it, to make sure it had oil, to make sure everything was flowing and functioning. That whole ship had a purpose. To go pick up, I believe it was iron ore, if I'm not mistaken, and to bring it back. Everybody on that ship was working towards one goal. Oh, it didn't seem like it. The ones that are working on that engine, it didn't seem like they were wanting to get back to the other port. But as they were working on that engine, that's exactly what was happening. Everybody joined in and they helped each other. All of us have purpose. It doesn't matter who we are here this morning. We have purpose in life. One of our purposes is to grow in grace, to become spiritually mature, to walk in love. Those are purposes in life. Those are callings. God has something for every one of us, specifically these. Ephesians 1:12 says, and this is just part of the verse, that we should be to the praise of His glory. It's not about us, but it's about Him. It's about serving Him. We are called to unity. And we are going to stumble. It's just part of it. But I'm so glad that we can come back and we can seek the Father. And we can find that connection to remain, to be in Him and He in us. The enemy knows that the Holy Spirit works in a unified body. The Holy Spirit also works in a body that is not unified to try to bring unity. I want us to be clear that when you mess up, the Holy Spirit is not boom out right now. But the Holy Spirit is there to continue to work in our hearts to bring us back to a place of seeking the Father in unity. I'd like for us to go to Ephesians 4, if you have your Bibles, your phones or whatever you're using. Sorry, time is going real quick, but guess what? Lunch is right back here. So it won't be very long. Ephesians 4, we have some words here. Some verses here that Paul penned. He says in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You walk worthy in the calling. What is walking worthy? Let's look in the next verse there, verse 2. He says, with all lowliness and meekness. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of pride, does it? Lowliness and meekness. You know what that tells me? When we walk in lowliness and meekness, that means we're serving. All of us today are servers. We should be. We are serving a God, and the way we serve God is by serving people. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering. A person who is not long-suffering is pretty short with you. Maybe we would say they're very, very impatient. Forbearing one another in love. Again, the idea here of forbearing one another is to bear with. We are different here this morning. My wife and I are different. But we are to bear with one another in love. That's part of our calling. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That verse tells me that the unity he's talking about is spiritual. It's a spiritual unity. Working together for the common cause of honoring and glorifying God and becoming one as a body. The NLT says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word dwell has the idea of sit. Let's read that verse again in that way. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to sit together in unity. When I'm sitting around a table and I'm fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, it's pretty easy for me to be okay because there's food involved. But what about when there's no food? What about when there's struggles? We are to lay down what we want sometimes for the sake of the brotherhood. To work together in spiritual unity. The principle is oneness. And we see that in the next couple of verses. And I want to read through verse 6. And I just want you to pay attention to the oneness, the unity that he's talking about here, the spiritual unity. Verse 4 says there is one body. That's the body of Christ. One body. There's one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Turn back with me again to Nehemiah. I should have told you to keep your finger there. So we go to chapter 3 in Nehemiah. And we find in chapter 3, there are many. I told you that one of these chapters talks a lot about who was next to here, who was next to here. That's chapter 3. So they all join together and they're working there, they're building. And then we come to chapter 4. I like to go to verse 6. Verse 6 in chapter 4 says, "So built we the wall." Again, it's we. Not I, but "so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." So it was built up about halfway all the way around, if I understand that correctly. Why? For the people had a mind to work. It looks to me like the people were excited about unity. They were excited about oneness, about togetherness. They had a mind to work. Nehemiah didn't have everything beautiful here. If we were to read between the lines here, and actually go back and look at some of these verses that are between here and maybe even after this, there were a couple of men that were just, they were irritators. They came in and they did their absolute best to destroy Nehemiah and his work. But Nehemiah stayed focused because he knew his call. There was a place where Nehemiah was actually up. It sounds like he was probably up at a high spot. And they were begging him to come down. They were giving him some false promises. And Nehemiah finally looked at him and says, "I ain't coming down. The work I'm doing is a good work and I will not come down." Nehemiah stayed focused because he had a purpose. I want to challenge us with that this morning. As a body of Christ, we have a purpose. And that is to lift God high. But it is very easy to cut somebody down. I'm not here blaming you for that this morning. But it is very easy to cut somebody down. Our calling is so much higher. Speaking words of encouragement, building each other up. Nehemiah 6 verse 15 says what happened at the end. "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. I would love to know the distance around that wall. I have no idea. But in 52 days, they built that wall back up. And I told you Nehemiah says that he did not eat the king's food for 12 years. We think that's probably 12 years away from the palace. If that is so, Nehemiah spent a lot of time there putting things in place to again have a safe place where they could be together. I don't know what all happened during that time. So why am I sharing this story this morning? Because of this weekend. God is building His church. And the invitation is there for us to join Him. This is not Dean's church. It is none of us ministers. It's not our church. It is God's church. And we're part of the greater church. God is building His church. Do you want to be a part of it? If we want to be a part of those that are build or that are in the church that God is building, that means we need to accept the invitation and to join Him. And when we come to the place of joining, I'm not talking about a literal joining, but I'm talking about being involved. God wants every single one of us here today to be involved in what He's doing. That's His goal. It's one of His goals. We're going to move forward tonight, Lord willing, as Dean said, with ordination. Levon and Valerie have been called to a place here at Calvary Chapel. One of the ways that we can assist God in building His church is to show Levon and Valerie that we care, that we support. We're here for them. There's a lot of questions that go through a person's mind when you're at the place where Levon and Valerie are right now. Let's let them know that we're behind them. Let's encourage them. I don't care how you want to do that, but let's encourage them. Let's pray for them. Find ways to show that you appreciate their efforts. Nehemiah was able to do what he was called to do because he had people that stepped in to help him. One of the worst things, I even hate to say this negatively, but one of the worst things we could do is to back away from Levon and Valerie now. One of the best things we can do is to step in and let them know we're here. We see what you're doing, and we bless you in your efforts. I just want to bless you as a congregation. We need each other so much. I don't know about you, but I need you. I do know about you. We all need each other. And it's okay if we send each other texts and bless each other and encourage each other. I know there's a committee here that writes letters and sends them out, cards to different people. What Rosalind was sharing, what they do with the widows, that's amazing. But it's part of the work of the body of Christ. So I want to bless each one of you here this morning. It doesn't matter who you are here today. I want to bless you. And I'm so glad that you are here. And I'm glad that God chose everyone here this morning to be a part of His kingdom. But there's something we need to do. That's to say yes and then walk with Him. Thank you this morning for listening, for being attentive. Would you please stand, and we're going to have prayer, and then you can go eat. Let's pray. God, we are so, so thankful. You have called us to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, help us to be faithful in being active and busy in your kingdom work. God, you are building your church. You have given us your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would hear. And I know, Lord, it takes obedient hearts to follow through. We're asking that this morning, Lord, for our congregation here. We're so thankful that you are the one who created, who is building the church, Lord, and the church will never die. Thank you. We bless you this morning. Just pray for Levon and Valerie. We ask, Lord, that you would be a comfort and a strength to them this morning. Give them courage. Help them to sense our love and care for them. God, thank you for the food that's been prepared. We ask that you would bless those that are back there working, that are serving us. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this food. Dismiss us. Bring us back together again this evening. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ernie, would you have a song? I'm sorry, I should have said something earlier.